Bob Muscatel here with you.
And we welcome in our buddy Dan Schlossberg, because, well, it's Travel Thursday's time, folks. And not only does he know travel, but he knows baseball, man. He's written a lot of great baseball books, including When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, which is a revised edition out there. And you got to catch that because it includes last year's Braves victory in the World Series. Baseball Zeros is due out in the spring of next year, 2023. I can't wait for that. And the new Baseball Bible, which is a great compendium of wonderful baseball tidbits. And you got to have that if you're a baseball fan. You can find all of this at Amazon.com or at your local brick and mortar bookstore. Danny, good morning. Welcome aboard, my friend. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Bob. Great to talk to you. And welcome back from vacation.
Thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate that. And, you know, I wanted to bring up something with you that I happened to see this morning. I think I told you a while back when the pandemic hit and we had no sports whatsoever, I was throwing in a lot of sports history. Now I still do. I put a little tidbit in at the end of every sports report. And I happened to see this today. And I don't know if it's in your... In your new baseball Bible, but if you ever revise it, maybe you should put it in there. Here's a guy pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals on this day in 1958 with a great name, Vinegar Bend Mizell. And this guy pitched...
And that's because he was from Vinegar Bend. I believe Alabama was where it was.
Oh, no kidding. But I figured you'd know this guy. He pitched a shutout, but he also walked a record 9 guys to do it. That's pretty tough to do, pitch a shutout and walk 9 guys. But there you go.
If you walk 9 guys today, you'll be out of the game in no time.
In no time flat, I was saying the same thing. And, you know, maybe he enjoyed pitching out of the stretch. So he liked guys on base. I have no idea. But anyway, that's a little interesting tidbit I came across. And I said, I got to share that with our buddy. All right. So, Dan, good to have you here. And we're going to talk lighthouses today. You got 14 that are really must-see lighthouses around the U.S., and we're going to start out west in Washington State with Cape Flattery Lighthouse. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Well, this one is at the northwesterly point of the lower 48, where the Macaw people have lived for a long time, and it was first constructed in 1857, before the Civil War, by the U.S. Lighthouse Service. And it's only 3/4 of a mile from the edge of Cape Flattery, a remote Tattoose Island in Washington State.
Wow. So out in Washington State, there are some beautiful lighthouses. We've got another one to pass along as well. New Dungeness Light Station. And this is right at the entrance of Puget Sound, right?
Yes. And I've been out to Seattle very, very many times. And I'm going up there again next year for the All-Star Game, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a beacon in Washington State for more than 150 years. And sea captains have relied on it. Historic lighthouse, and it's maintained by volunteers who stay for about a week at a time.
Wow, and so that's where the All-Star Game is next year, huh? Seattle. And how many in a row have you been to now? 40-something?
Almost 50. I guess it is 50, because 1972 in Atlanta was number one.
Oh, my God, 50 All-Star Games in a row. That's got to be a record in and of itself. You know, you should put yourself into the new revised edition of the new Baseball Bible next time you revise it. Should put yourself
in
there.
That's a thought. And I got a good picture of myself in front of the All-Star logo in L.A. this year.
Perfect. There you go. Okay, so let's travel to California, Point Reyes Lighthouse. Tell me more.
Well, we actually need to talk about the Hacienda Head
Lighthouse. Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. I skipped over one. You're right. Get that one in. Yep.
And that one's in Oregon, also on the Pacific Northwest. 56-foot tower, first lit in 1894, and purchased 205 feet above the ocean. And a 2-year restoration project has just brought this landmark lighthouse back to life.
How about that? You know, you included some pictures in your notes, and boy, a lot of these are beautiful, this one in particular. Now the Point Reyes Lighthouse in California. Tell me more about this one.
Right, and not named for Jose Reyes, but anyway, Point Reyes, the U.S. Lighthouse Service built this lighthouse in 1870 in Inverness, California. And at sundown, the lightkeeper would light the oil lamp inside the Fresnel lens, which would then be rotated by a brass clockwork mechanism, sent a beam of more than 1,000 prisms out to sea.
Wow. I mean, some of the backstories on these lighthouses is just fascinating. Here's another one in California, Pigeon Point Lighthouse. This one sounds interesting as well.
And it's one of the tallest lighthouses in the U.S., 115 feet tall. The tower has been closed since 2001, but it also has a 2,000-pound Fresnel lens on display on site. at the Fog Signal Building, and visitors can take guided tours around the lighthouse grounds Thursday through Monday.
Here's another one that's been around a while. The Big Bay Point Light Station. This is in Michigan, right?
On Lake Superior, and built in 1896, red brick duplex dwelling, and two families originally watched over the light. And now it's been turned into a five-room bed and breakfast. I like that idea.
Oh, yeah, that sounds real good. That's right. We move on to another one that sounds very interesting, the Ponce de Leon Inlet Light Station. This sounds interesting.
And that's in the St. Augustine area where Ponce de Leon allegedly founded the Fountain of Youth. And it's 175 feet tall. It's Florida's tallest lighthouse. And the Ponce de Leon Lighthouse Preservation Association hosts special evening tours of the site. And that must be great. And that's always during the full moon, by the way.
You know, I've noticed that our tours kind of took us out west. Then we moved to the middle of the country. Now we're moving down south. And we're talking North Carolina, the Bodie Island Light Station. Tell me about this one.
That's a Nag's Head, and I wonder how Nag's Head got its name.
Even want to speculate.
You can now climb all 214 steps to the top of this lighthouse, 156 feet tall, and you get stunning views of Pamlico Sound, the Atlantic Ocean, and go to the original lightkeeper's home because it's now a ranger station and visitor center.
There you go. And we're going to talk Chesapeake Bay now with the Cape Henry Lighthouse. Now, this one goes way back, circa 1792, right?
Yes, it's an oldie but goodie, and it stands near the first landing site of the Jamestown, Virginia area where the settlers landed in 1607, and the lighthouse has stood sentinel since it was completed in 1792.
All right, now we come a little bit closer to home now in the northeast with the Gay Head Lighthouse, which a lot of people know in Massachusetts.
Right, 1856, Martha's Vineyard, and it stands atop a natural landmark, Gay Head Cliffs, and the lighthouse is a beacon to the Wampanoag tribal heritage, and it's the only lighthouse that has a history of Native American lighthouse keepers.
Wow, how about that? They should keep that story alive and well and project it out there a little bit more. Let's talk Rhode Island, the Rose Island Lighthouse there.
And that's right off Newport. It's on an 18.5-acre island off the coast of Rhode Island, a mile into Narragansett Bay. The Rose Island Lighthouse was built in 1869, and keepers battled extreme weather and isolated island conditions, reachable only by boat, and you could stay there overnight or take the Jamestown-Newport ferry for the day to tour the lighthouse and the museum.
Yeah, a lot of ferry rides out there that are very popular these days. Also, Boston Light. Now, a lot of people know about this one. Tell me more.
Very famous lighthouse. It was Colonial America's first lighthouse. So far ahead of its time, Bob, that nearly 50 years passed before another one was constructed in the U.S. And it's the only remaining U.S. Coast Guard beacon that has a resident keeper.
That's what I think is missing from a lot of lighthouses, but not that one. I think that's very cool. Let's move on to the Nantucket Lightship. This is a floating lighthouse. Tell me more about this one.
That one was constructed in 1936 and designated a National Historic Landmark in 1989, and was once called the Statue of Liberty of the Sea. It was the first and last U.S. landmark seen by ships traveling to and from Europe.
And if you've been keeping track, folks, we told you there'd be 14. This is the 14th, and this one is located around Casco Bay, Maine. It's the Halfway Rock Lighthouse. Tell me more about this one.
Well, it's very hard to access, and it was once deemed a stag lighthouse at the peak of its service because the lightkeepers' families were strictly forbidden for their safety. They were forbidden to be out there, so the lightkeeper alone was out there. And very remote location and deteriorated a little bit after 40 years of deferred maintenance. But it has been restored after 146 years. It's been restored. So you can still see it and enjoy it.
Wow. How about that? You know, lighthouses are becoming a thing of the past. But, man, we should glorify them when we can. And we just did. And finding out about lighthouses, I think, is fascinating, especially the one that you mentioned that still has a keeper. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Maine, if you go up to Maine, you can see lighthouses all over the place. They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, listen, Danny, thanks for bringing this to the fore. We appreciate it. A lot of them in the Northeast, but a lot that we probably didn't know about out in California, Michigan, etc. So, Danny, I can't wait to find out where our travels take us next week. Where are we going?
We're going to North Wildwood, New Jersey, and we're going to talk about a 50s-themed B&B called Summer Nights.
Oh, it sounds like it's calling your name. All right, so we'll talk about that next week on Travel Thursdays with Danny. Always a pleasure, Dan. Stay safe, my friend.
Thanks to you too, Bob, and good luck to your Yankees.
All right, thanks. We're going to need it. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. That's Dan Schlossberg, folks. Travel Thursdays right here at 1420 and 1150 on the AM side and 97.3 and 105.3 FM, WLIS and WMRD. And we're streaming live, too, at WLISWMRD.net.